Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
head.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have a special guest with us this morning.
I don't even know if this calling one of the queens of comedy. You seem like you do so much more than that now.
Hey, baby.
Miss Monique.
Monique.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She came in here all nice. I thought she was going to come in and yell at us or something.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
She said your reputation precedes you. Everybody think you're difficult and angry all the time.
For the folks that know me, they know that's truly a joke.
Absolutely.
So I'm assuming this baby don't know me too well.
Okay. Oh, no, I was just kidding.
I'm assuming.
Really,
okay.
I didn't think you were going to really do that. I've seen a lot of your interviews lately.
Yes.
And it does seem a little odd that people would act like you were so difficult and angry all the time. Obviously, we know you as a comedian first, you know, always pretty funny. And then we've seen you do some great acting roles. We've seen your own TV show, your own talk show. So I was like, where did this come from?
You know, angry is the first time I've heard that word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's new for me this morning. The difficulty, I think, comes in when they're used to hearing people say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you get that no, that can be considered difficult.
Absolutely.
Because if we're normally getting the yes and we run into the person that says no,
mm-hmm.
that could be a little difficult that I'm not going to change my no to a yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how people would say that.
Absolutely.
Now, what you're saying, though, you said you got that actually from Martin. Martin gave you some great advice.
Martin Lawrence.
When we did Roscoe Jenkins, that brother pulled me in his trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Monique, don't ever let them tell you what you can't have. Now, his trailer was a 3-floor penthouse.
Okay
baby. Laid out. And as we were talking, that brother was just giving me that kind of brotherly and sisterly love, saying, they will tell you no. They will tell you it's impossible. Don't let them tell you what you can't have as I'm standing in his 3-story penthouse trailer.
Now, let me ask you a question. As our people.
Black people. Say black people. You scared to say black? Say black.
Black people.
Okay.
Our people. It feels like we're scared to say no. It feels like sometimes that when we get something, it feels like entitlement. Do you see that a lot with us? Because no matter what it is, it seems like if somebody gives us something, we're like, okay, thank you, instead of saying, nah, that's not my value, that's not my worth.
Well, I think historically, mm-hmm. we've done that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that when you come from a place where we've never gotten any money,
mm-hmm.
to now we're going to get a little bit of money, and we're just grateful for that little bit of money, then you have the people saying, well, no, we need our worth. And you still have those people saying, shh, we should just be happy with what we're getting. So it's not something that's new. It's something historically that has always happened. So to say, do I see it now? Well, we've always seen it if we've been paying attention.
But do you have a problem with, like, you say no.
Yes.
And then another comedian who's doesn't care about their value or that's really just trying to trip you will say yes and get that job. And that could have been something that maybe you could have got or something that would have been big for you. But you said no and they undercut you. Does that happen a lot to you?
Well, I don't think it's a thing of undercutting. You know, if you read Louis Gossett's book,
mm-hmm.
Louis Gossett said, what Hollywood does understand, what one won't do, another one will.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes you'll see us taking roles because when we take a stand and say, I can't accept that. You have to pay me what my resume says I'm worth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say, well, you know what? Another one will. And I don't fault that other one, whoever that other one is, because mm-hmm. I don't know their situation.
Right.
So for whatever reason someone says, yes, I will, I can't judge it because I don't know it. I only know mine.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that you have to say, we got to draw the line in the sand, because if not my sweet sister, your opportunities wouldn't come to you the way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next sister. So I think that's what this is all boiling down to. You have some that will and some that won't.
What about all the independent movies that people are making now? What if there's truly no budget, but you think it's a great script, but
mm-hmm.
they can't pay you your resume?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then can you say, okay, you know what? This is actually a great opportunity. I love it. I understand that you're new. You know, you don't have the funding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down.
You know what? That's a great point, sis. And with Blackbird, the movie that's coming out Friday, April 24th,
mm-hmm.
it's independent.
Right.
And the reason why Sydney and I really wanted to be a part of it was, number one, the message was amazing and is amazing.
Sydney, your husband?
Sydney, my husband.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to executive produce it, and we have real ownership.
Right.
So when you're that passionate about something and you say, I'll not take the full money up front, but we own some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So in success, we will reap the benefits. As long as you see that movie, wherever you see it,
mm-hmm.
we reap the benefits from it. Sometimes what happens is, you'll see something over and over and over again, but we reap the benefit one time.
Mm.
Then somebody else continues to reap that benefit. So for us, we appreciate the independent route
mm-hmm.
because it gives us ownership of our image and our likeness.
It's
and
easy,
they should appreciate that too, because then that means you believed in it so much that you're like, I want to put my name on this. I want to be involved. I know that my name and my acting skills are going to help take this to the next level, and we all get paid.
You know, I think it's a mutual respect all the way around. You know, it's not one doing something for the other. It's we're doing something for each other, right. And we believe in the project. So let's get married together in this business deal and make it happen.
It's easier to do that when you got the money, though.
It's easier to do.
Be independent.
Well, you know what? When you're independent, just like anything else, you go for funding. Mm-hmm. You go for investors. Just like you're going to the studio. The studio is an investor.
Gotcha.
Now, they get mostly all and then some back.
Gotcha.
But when you go independently, it's no different. You're going to those investors, those people to fund it.
Now, what made you want to make Black Bird? Do you have somebody like in your family that's dealing with sexual identity issues? Or?
I think that every single person that's listening, every one of y'all, every one of us, has somebody in our family that's dealing with or has dealt with their sexuality. And the reason why Blackbird was so important is because so many of our babies are struggling with trying to accept who they are and be accepted, because in this day and age, you have people still struggling with something that makes you say, I can't believe we're still fighting with other human beings just to be the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
So with Blackbird, this is a story about a young brother coming up in the Deep South, 17 years old, in high school, honor roll student, a really good guy. But he's fighting with his sexuality because he's been raised in a strict Christian upbringing. That it's a sin, you're condemned to hell, you are a disgrace if you are a homosexual. So you see this baby trying to deal with that. His mother, the character that I play, she's one of those women that she believes everything in the Bible. She believes everything on that pulpit. So to her to find out that her baby is gay, and then she's still fighting
Lord
with the abduction of her daughter, oh, baby. She thinks that little boy has disgraced the family, going to hell. He is the worst creature on the face of this earth.
Absolutely.
Trying to deal with that. So you see the dynamic behind the door. Isaiah Washington, who is absolutely brilliant, plays the dad in this movie. And normally when you see a dad on TV playing a father to a gay son, it's the stereotypical, I hate you, how could you do
throw
this to me?
Throw him in the trash can.
It's the exact opposite.
Throw him in the trash can.
Throw him in the trash can, baby. It is the exact opposite, and Isaiah Washington loves his baby through it.
Right.
So we're appreciative to show that character, and not unique. There are fathers that love their sons through it, love their daughters through it, but we just don't get a chance to see it. So it's one of those films that we believe will change hearts, open minds, and start different conversations in our churches.
And that comes out April 24th, correct?
Yes, my love.
What made you want to take on another struggle? Because you're Black, you're a female. You got your own issues in America. What made you want to deal with the issues homosexuals face?
You know, because it's just the issue of love. And when I was 16 years old, I was introduced to that culture with some beautiful, young, gay Black brothers. And they all had the same story. Most of them did. You know, I was thrown away. The church don't want me no more. And they're struggling to find their place. Now, most of those brothers are gone today. So doing this movie was truly my love letter to those brothers saying, we hope this makes a difference. And the brother playing the character, the star of the movie, Julian Walker, when I tell y'all this baby was so brave and so courageous and so fearless, because to take on that role, and he didn't know to be afraid. It's the first thing he's ever done, just like Gabourey Sidibe and Precious.
Right.
Got the same feelings with that baby, with this baby. To take on such a role and not be concerned about what people might think and just give it its honesty, it is something to see.
See, I wish you and Lee Daniels was cool, because this sounds right up his alley.
You know, I'm going to say this. Lee Daniels and I are cool. It's one of those things when you know how you have a friend. And a friend go to a left a little bit.
Yeah.
And you wait for him to come on back over.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm just waiting for him to come on back over.
Put him on timeout for a little bit.
Just come on back over.
And you publicly said you would work with him again.
Yes.
If the opportunity.
I think Lee Daniels is one of the most brilliant visionaries of our generation.
Right.
Now, why did you feel the need to show the emails about being offered the role of Cookie? Because they was lying on you?
Because my character was in question. And I take pride in my character.
Now, if people who just joined us, they don't understand. You were offered the role of Cookie.
Yes.
And you had the emails to prove it, but, you know, on the other side, they were saying she was never offered that role.
Yes.
So it kind of made you look like, why?
Girl, didn't it make me look crazy? It made me look crazy as hell, didn't it? Okay, wait a minute, y'all now. Wait a minute. Y'all know mama ain't crazy. Yeah, that was it. It was when Mr. Strong made the statement she was never offered the role and that never happened. It's like, guys, I have the communication here.
Right.
So I don't want to play that game, but I have to say, when you're putting something out that is not true and it's an attack on my character, let me show you what it is.
So explain what happened. Break it down. So you got offered the role.
Yes.
Empire, of course, Cookie. And then what happened?
got offered the role of Empire for Cookie. And normally the way Lee and I do business, when he called me for Shadow Boxer, it was a call from Lee. Hey, mama, got this part I want you to play. Mm-hmm. No problem. Send me the script. That's it. Attorneys get involved. We do the deal.
Right.
Same thing with Precious. Hey, mama, got this role. Mm-hmm. Want you to do it. We cool. Attorneys get involved. Deal is done.
Gotcha.
Well, it was no different with this one. That's how we've always done business. Hey, mama, got this role for you. It's Cookie for this pilot I'm doing, Empire. We laughed and joked about it, talked about it, got the size for it. He said, now listen, you need to do this technical thing, this screen testing, because it's TV. And, you know, I don't know too much about TV. No problem, brother. That's my boy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. Well, when we were waiting to get the date to do the screen test, that's when all the confusion began to come in. Mm-hmm. Calls weren't being returned. It's like, hey, what's happening? Mm-hmm. When I finally get a call, he says, listen, Fox said you're difficult. Mm. I said, I'm difficult. He said, and I told them, let you be my difficulty. I said, brother, why would you tell them that? You and I've never had any problems with each other.
Right.
He was like, well, they just want to go with Taraji P. Henson. Hey, she going to knock it out the park. No problem. I said, but don't put it out there that your girl is difficult. He said, well, you know, I can't let you mess with my money. Go get it, baby. That was what our conversation was. So when I see my brother go on TV and he says things that he knows is not true, it's like, just tell the conversation that we had. That's all. It's not right, wrong, or indifferent. Just tell the conversation that we had.
You think he should have had your back, though? You know what I mean? You think he should have, because y'all did movies with,
maybe
before.
It was out of his hands, though.
I don't want to mess with anybody's money.
Right.
And if they're saying, listen, we're not going to use her, we're not going to do it with her, I don't want to mess with my brother's money. And Taraji P. Henson is the baddest Cookie Lyons that television could ever see. So the person that was supposed to get it, got it. Mm-hmm. But it has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. It's the principle of you putting it out there that it never happened.
When you see that role, do you think that you could have pulled it off as good as Cookie?
You know, again, my sister is killing it. Right. There's no comparison.
Right.
She's killing it. It's almost like once you see somebody doing it, could
that's
anybody
them.
Else be JJ?
Hell no.
Could anybody else have been Nikki Parker?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So when you see it, it's like there's no one else that could have been Cookie Lyons other than Taraji P. Henson.
Well, it's great that you've been coming out now and letting people know what really went down behind the scenes, because people were thinking, oh, maybe she's difficult. People don't want to work with her. So now are the offers pouring in?
Well, you know, the offers, when you say are they pouring in, they never stop coming.
Mm-hmm.
The scripts never stop coming.
Okay.
They just didn't make sense.
So there was no blackball that happened.
Yeah, that's basically the confusion. They say you blackball, but then you're getting all these scripts offered to
there
you.
Was no black. I never said I was blackballed. That was Lee Daniels' mm-hmm. perception.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, you have to ask Lee Daniels about that, because it never stopped on my end.
Okay.
The reason why you hadn't seen me is because it just didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And had I taken those roles and taken those offers, what do we leave for the sister coming behind us?
Right. Got it. Go ahead, Charlamagne.
Mm. Now, Monique, you've been around a long time.
Yes.
I'm sure this is your first time seeing how shady the industry is.
Are you looking
it was
for
the question?
I'm just asking, are you seeing it before?
But you know what, baby? It's life.
Got you.
It's not just Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's across the board, and you just deal with it accordingly. And you have to ask the question, will you be willing to take a stand, or will you consider to stay in the shade?
Do you think that a lot of black people, we take opportunity over money because we feel like it's not a lot of opportunity out there for us? We say, oh, we at least if I get in this position, then the next person will get paid?
You know, that's a great question. And I think it really depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't judge anyone's situation, but I really think it depends on the situation at hand. You know, there was a story about this brother, Kirk Flood, baseball player. And I hope I'm saying his name correctly. And because of that brother is why we have free agency.
Mm.
And during his time period, he was taking a stand saying, you're not paying us for our worth. And there were other players saying, just be quiet and accept it because we've gotten an opportunity. Well, that man died broke and ill.
Mm.
And then when they did the documentary on him, all the players said that was alive during that time and played with him, he was right.
Mm.
We was just too afraid that we would get shut out and we had to feed our families. So again, you don't know people's situations, mm-hmm. but it's just unfortunate. It takes some of us to leave here for people to then say they were right.
Absolutely. Now, when you won the Academy Award, was that a gift or was it a curse or was it both?
It was appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And any award I've ever won, I'm appreciative of it. But it wasn't the Academy. That was that award that made me feel like this is that award. And I find it interesting because when we speak about what black people do and don't do, even when I come to us to do the interviews, no one's ever asked me how I felt the night that I won the Image Award, which is ours. Mm. No one's ever put value into our award. It's always the Oscar. And I understand it because we've been conditioned to believe that's it.
That's what I say about the Grammys. When I see all of these rappers and stuff, they're, oh, I didn't win a Grammy, I didn't win a Grammy, but you don't feel that. You don't even show up to the BET Hip Hop Awards. Or the BET, when they call your name for that stuff,
we got somebody there
to accept your award for you.
It's like the moment we put value into us is the moment it becomes valuable.
Mm. Was there ever a point when you won that Oscar where you really was feeling yourself, though? Like, I am the shit right now.
No.
Not once, like, I...
Baby, you know, being an actress is something that literally fell in my lap.
But you from the bottom, though. Like, you was a stand-up comic.
Is that the bottom?
Is that a bad
one? Yeah, right, baby. Wait a minute, sugar.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
You was on the street talking to us.
What, baby? I mean, don't make me bring Drake to the show. Don't do it.
I mean that in a good way, though. Like, to come up from the stage, you know how hard it is for stand-up comics.
Yes.
To come up from that stage, win an Academy Award, that's a big, big deal.
You know, to win any award is a big, big deal. For me, because whenever they call my name, I'm that little girl standing in my bathroom mirror saying one day with a brush in my hand and a towel around my body, I'm that little girl. And I don't care what award it is, but the trophies that I'm really appreciative of are my son's football trophy.
Okay? There you go.
Talk about that football. Listen.
True.
One is 25.
Okay.
Michael's 11. And the twins, David and Jonathan, are 9. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all got to understand why the football trophies are the biggest trophies in the Hicks residence. Because Michael is a superstar football player. Baby, he runs all around these children. Touchdowns, tackles, he's getting it. But the twins, okay, they don't really do it like that. So when they got their trophies... Mm-hmm. We were so proud, baby. We were like, these are the trophies right here, baby. What? Now, did I show off with those trophies? Yes, I did. I called all my friends and said, y'all don't even want to see none of this, baby. The Hicks Brothers trophy.
Absolutely. Do you ever think about going and doing another stand-up comedy tour?
How about that's the same thing?
I've never stopped. Mm-hmm. I've never stopped.
But like a full tour. Like let
Before
me
I came here to New York, I was in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Doing the improv comedy club. Cincinnati. Okay? It's Cincinnati and Kentucky, baby.
Oh, like,
but
that?
If you cross the street, you on one, and if you go back over, you on the other, and they call it Cincinnati. I was confused too. Listen, baby.
You don't that don't sound like a difficult person to me.
Let me tell you why I love that circuit. Because it gives me the opportunity to say thank you. Mm. And it gives me the opportunity to continue to say no to things that just don't make sense. Mm. And when I was listening to Richard Pryor's best work, in my humble opinion, for me, was in the clubs. Mm-hmm. It was when it was intimate, right there, in your face. You could feel them smoking. You could feel them drinking. You could feel the waitresses. That was the best for me. And I love that intimacy. I love being on that club stage, and we are right there together, even after all of that. Mm. And they say, Mo, why would you come back to the clubs? Because I can, and I'm supposed to. And it's my way of saying thank you. And thank y'all for letting me to continue to say no to things that don't make sense.
That means she's making a lot of money in them clubs.
That's
what that means. Absolutely. And also, listen, now, you also have this HBO Bessie situation.
Girl,
you said.
Yes.
What is Bessie? What is this black? So hold on, where's the blackballing coming from if you're getting all this work?
There's no blackballing.
What's going on there now?
So, now you
Did
said
you see the face. That's the playground face. I don't know. They said mean things about me in a sandbox. No, they don't want to get on the seesaw with me. I don't know. You know, again, you know how they say, don't believe everything you hear and half of what you see. It was so easy to jump to the negative. It was so easy. And people said, Monique, how do you feel that some of your peers or people were saying this and that? I said, y'all, I'm no different than the sister that worked in the Burger King. Somebody started a rumor, and it kept spreading, and it went to all the Burger Kings in that region, and no one came to the sister that was frying the goddamn burgers and asked her, what really happened?
Right.
Did you really drop the burger on the floor and put it back in the bun and give it to the president of the company? No one ever took the time out to ask. So it's just being able to say, well, what really happened? And I appreciate the brothers and sisters to say, Mo, what happened? instead of jumping to that place of this is what went down and we know it.
Now, how do you and your husband?
Talk about Bessie,
yeah, let's talk about
what's
Bessie.
What's Bessie?
Bessie Smith was one of the greatest blues singers of our time, of that time.
I'm excited for this.
And Queen Latifah plays Bessie Smith. Mm-hmm. And when I tell y'all that, in my humble opinion, it is her best performance to date because she is Bessie Smith. Mm. Remember how Jamie was Ray Charles?
Right. Absolutely.
Queen Latifah is Bessie Smith. It's scary. I mean, this sister is so amazing in this role that you, as I was watching her, I'm like, go ahead, girl, and do your thing. Yo. And it just tells her life story. And I get the opportunity to play a character named Ma Rainey. Mm-hmm. And I never heard of this woman until I read the script. Mm-hmm. Just goes to show you that we got to dig for our history because they don't tell it to us in school.
Right. She's a blues singer also?
Ma Rainey was Bessie Smith's mentor. Oh,
okay.
And you get a chance to see this amazing friendship between these two women that we don't often get a chance to see anymore. And you watch just the ups and downs and how this group of people during that time was able to make it through. Mike Epps, Charles Dutton, Candy Alexander, Tiki Sumter. It is just absolutely something to watch May 16th on HBO.
Do you ever just want to scream out, like when they say things like Monique was blackballed, you'll say, bitch, I'm working.
Come to the show.
And I was going to ask that with your husband. You and your husband are so tight.
Yes.
Do you ever have to check him and be like, baby, don't go punch that man in his face because, you know, it's this is, you know, you his baby and this is a partnership now, you know?
My husband has to check me.
Oh.
Okay, I'm the
one.
Like, baby,
okay. Don't go punch that man
in his face. I'm the one, baby.
You know, face.
My husband and I have been best friends since 10th grade, since we were 14 years old. Uh-huh. And he's probably the only human being on the face of this earth that knows me better than I know myself. So when I hear people saying that Monique and her husband are these difficult people, it makes us both laugh because we're so far from that.
Right.
What we are very honest people, and we hold you to your words and your conversations, and people can have a difficult time with that. And again, that's why people will say they're difficult, because we ask questions that normally aren't asked, and they haven't practiced the answer. So before we'll get an answer, they're just these difficult people, and it's understandable.
What did you think when you read about the Sony leaks, you know, where the emails were leaked from all the executives back and forth, and they were talking about all the actors? And, you know, we're not in Hollywood, so we don't know how executives talk. And we were like, oh, my God, I can't believe they said that. And all this stuff is coming out. Were you surprised at
all? I can't believe that you said I can't believe they said that.
I mean, the average person is just like, wow, why are they talking like this about, you know, these famous actors? They're talking about Angelina Jolie. They're going in on Kevin Hart.
Because they're people. Mm-hmm. And they do what we do as people. We talk about people.
Yeah.
We put people to a different esteem. We hold them to a different level. Well, they're executives. But executives are what?
People.
They're people.
People, right.
They're just like that sister in the Burger King. Just their bank accounts are different. That's it. Mm-hmm. So once we start realizing they're just people and they do what people do, we don't put so much weight and be so shocked. How could they say that? Because they're just people, and that's what people do.
Now, everybody's talking about this influx of black folks on TV right now. They're saying it's looking like the 90s again.
Why was that? I'm not even fooling with you,
Sam, because he felt my vibe as he was saying it. He did.
Do you think it's a trend or something that's going to last?
Just do yourself a favor today. Start your TV on channel 0 and go all the way to 100 and see how many of people of color you see, and then re-ask that question. So do we think it's an influx? Well, when you just count the numbers, you'll answer your own question.
True. Now, talking about Black Bird, why do you think homophobia is still so prevalent in the black community?
You know what, baby? I used to think that it was only prevalent in the black community. And I used to think it was only our churches that were, you know, the ones that were saying, put them out, no more, until we started taking this film to the festivals around the country. And what we realized was it's not just in the black community.
At all.
It's in the Asian community. It's in the Latin community. It's in the Italian community. It's in the Jewish community.
It's in Chick-fil-A.
Come on now. Talk about it. It's in every community because, again, it's just people.
Gotcha.
I only felt like it was in the black community because that's the community that I deal with mainly.
True.
So I only saw the pain in our community. But then when you go out, you see that pain in all communities.
True. Now, you lost a lot of weight. Oh, it was like 100 pounds, right?
Yes.
I heard you say that on Sway.
Yes.
Now, you was the champion of big girls. You feel like you abandoned them?
Do you feel like I'm a small girl?
You small? Yeah, he's smaller. He ain't
you ain't big.
You ain't big.
Here's what's beautiful. I am still 200 pounds. And for y'all to look at me and say, you not big. Oh, how big was I? Oh, God. And no one said a damn thing to me until one time, baby. Sasha,
it.
I watched the Parkers one time in rerun, okay? And I saw Nikki's ass going to the door. I said, no one said anything. No one said. And here's the thing. By no means am I ever going to be a small woman. Ever. But what I do want to do is be a big, healthy woman.
Right.
My husband liked the curves. He likes the roundness. Mm-hmm. But I want to be around so we can enjoy each other for a lifetime. So never will I get to be a 2, a 4, a 6, a 8, a 10, a 12. Right now I'm in a 14W16, and depending on how it's cut, baby, I might need an 18, but okay. But I'm not trying to be that. All I'm trying to do is be around as long as I can.
True.
And to say to my big sisters, I'm going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I'm still right here, but we can be big, healthy women.
True. Well, you know what it was? You lived your truth. And when you live your truth, nobody can use your truth against you. That's why nobody ever said anything, because you owned it.
If you were offered a role,
it was mine. You know what I'm saying? It was mine, baby. Nobody. It was all mine until my husband was brave enough to say to me,
uh-oh,
hey, mama.
I love you, and I want you to be here.
Hey, he asked me how much I weighed. Well, no one ever said that. Mm. And when he said it, I knew it was 300 pounds, but I couldn't say it. Mm. So I said 266 pounds, trying to be real sexy with it. He said, that's too much, and I want you for a lifetime. Mm. That was the changing point in my life, because no one had ever spoken to me like that.
Mm. And how did you lose the weight? Was it eating better?
We see you working out.
Exercising, trying to eat things that I can pronounce. If I can't pronounce it, I try not to eat it. Now, I don't always win, because them damn wings at Virgil's, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what they putting on them wings, baby, but they are delicious. But as Sydney said to me, because when I first got into it, I wanted it to happen right away. I wanted it quick.
Right.
And after 3 weeks, I'm looking in the mirror, baby, and I'm naked. I said, Daddy, do you see a difference? He said, no.
That wasn't
what I was looking for. But what I understood was the moment he said yes, I knew that he really saw something different.
Right.
So, you know, when I say to the sisters, save your life. Mm. I'm not saying get a surgery. I'm not saying starve yourself. All I'm saying is save your life and be the healthiest that you can be.
There you have it.
You used to do radio. Do you miss radio? Because you can get on the microphone every day and clear up any misconceptions.
I miss it. I miss my family. Mm. I miss my family. I enjoy this, you know, because being behind this microphone, and I must say, you look really nice, because I've done radio with some sisters, and I'm like, listen, if they could see you, baby, they wouldn't want to listen to you anymore, because did you even comb your hair? So I appreciate.
Well, they can't see us because we're on Revolt TV, so you know.
That's why.
Okay. I'll be right.
You get
me looking just like that. It don't be like this at home.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Right.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know what it was? You know, people, they were saying you were difficult. But I told them, I've seen you before, and you gave me one of the highest compliments.
So someone said to you, I was different.
Well, no, just hearing. Well, yeah.
Just the rumors.
Who? Tell me who.
Tell me who.
Because them they be getting. I don't name them.
Look, them vase, like Bernie Mac say, who is they?
I don't name names.
Because what happens is, it goes back to the playground. Mm-hmm. And I've always been that little girl on the playground. Mm-hmm. Monique, somebody said, if you ain't going to tell me who said it, then don't even bring it to me.
There you go.
Because what it says is, you're not courageous enough to say, what I'm not going to do is this he say, she say, I'm going to be your friend. And I'm going to say, listen, someone who, this is their name, they said it. So maybe those two people can get together and clear it up.
Right.
So if you're not going to say who said it, then hold on to it. Because we grown.
Absolutely.
That is.
Will you be producing more movies?
Sasha, I said that, didn't I? Okay, now.
Will you be producing more movies as well after Blackbird? Is that something that you're like, let me give some more opportunities?
If it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes sense, yes. Okay.
But you paid me one of the highest compliments one time, because I let you and your homegirl go out the elevator for us, and you said, thank your mama and your grandma for me. So when everybody, when people were saying to me and said you was difficult, I was like, well, she was nice to me when I met her.
You remember that.
And you ain't know me. I was nobody.
She don't remember it, but you remember it.
I know she don't.
No. I'm saying you remember that.
Yeah.
Right. So do I. And when you say I'm a nobody, you're everybody to me. You're somebody to me, because you saying, go here, sisters. See, I don't care about you. I don't care about nothing you do. What that said was your mama and your grandmama and your daddy, there were some folks that said, when you see some other sisters, you make sure you protect them enough to let them step on. I appreciated that.
Absolutely. We got to bring Lee Daniels on and ask him about black balls.
You know what? Okay. This is trash, New York. That's why I love him. Trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monique. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.